Hey, Pride fam, get ready for a brand new episode of
Pride the Podcast,
featuring special guest, artist, actor, and producer, Adam Bucci. So grab yourself a Pride treat and take a little time to hang with Pride.
It's Pride, bitch.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi,
everybody.
Yeah, hey,
welcome back.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Pride the Podcast, brought to you by our friends over at Rehab Entertainment. I'm Adam Andrew Rios.
I'm Mr. Braden Bradley. I was just going to say, maybe I should contact Rehab Entertainment for some rehab for Pride. Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, well, shit. And I'm Darrell Anthony, signing up for said rehab.
And I'm Ashley Mitchell, a troll.
She going to join us at rehab. Though, yeah,
that should be it. Ashley was like, I was like, girl, we've been living under a bridge this whole time, and you didn't even know.
What if said rehab was under a bridge?
That'd be nice.
That would be nice. But my mom and I say we're not going to rehab because I don't think there's a bar.
Well, I was wondering about who's going to sneak the stuff in.
I think that's the point.
No, I think we know how to sneak stuff in. No, if I know us.
We can sneak some things in. There's been some things and some things and some things.
And we can also
places.
Sneak out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, we can't sneak out and change shirts. So, y'all, this is amazing. How's everybody been doing? How's everybody been killing it?
I'm tired. I'm very proud.
You went from pride to proud.
I'm too proud. Do you know what I'm saying? The older I get, it's like, how much pride, proud can I be?
Well, you know what it is? We must remember that pride is, Adam talked about it last week in our conversation with James. It's like, it's not just a celebration. All that's great, but it's literally more than that. It's about standing up and believing in what you believe in and actually trying to make a difference and trying to change someone's life. And I think that that is something that in our old age, we have to continue to teach the children.
Mm-hmm. And I also have to remember, and we say this all the time on the podcast, that Pride is 365, not just the month of June. Mm-hmm. So I have to remember, like, I don't have to throw all my eggs in one basket just because it's June. All my eggs are in a basket.
Are they fertilized?
Definitely not. Can't afford that.
I'm trying to freeze my eggs.
Right. Oh. Hello. Me too. I mean, you know what I mean.
Your sperm?
Yeah, that thing. Mm-hmm. Those things. There's
seeds.
Multiple.
Why do I, when I hear the word sperm, all I think about is that stupid Family Guy episode and with Bertram. And like, it's so crazy, like, how that show in general, like, something will happen in real life, and I'm like, Family Guy. Like,
oh, yeah. There are certain things where I cannot think about. I will always think of Family Guy if that certain event happens.
But you know, that's what a lot of people have been saying about Simpsons. They said the Simpsons have predicted the future. Mm-hmm. They did that with Caitlyn Jenner. They did that with Queen Elizabeth. And they most recently did it
with
the
Trump
submarine.
Too.
It's Trump. And with the submarine.
Did they really?
They did. They actually did.
Yeah, so, it was like a... They were looking for buried treasure.
Yeah, so it was a son and father going, like, and Homer was in there too, but they were going down to look for buried treasure, and they found a ship that I can't remember the name of the ship, but they said it had broken half, the Titanic. Mm-hmm. And they went down there, and Homer got stuck, and then it was like, oxygen low, you ain't got no oxygen, this, and then it found, like, oxygen full, just kidding, low, gone. Oh, so, no. You know, I want to get everybody's opinion on this at the table. First of all, we never want to see anyone lose their life. So prayers. We can talk about that.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Ashley, since we both watch Bridget and Queen. Right. Sorrows.
Prayers.
So I think it's tough, but a lot of people have pretty much gave up. I told everyone I got the same feeling about them that I got with Naya Rivera when they said that she was missing.
I think we all knew as soon as
Ocean,
the search party happens, you know what happened.
I mean, we're scared about that on land, but I'm even more scared about that when it comes to the ocean, because we know that there are parts of the ocean that man themselves don't know about.
We know more about space than we know about the deep sea.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
I don't know. I might disagree with you on that.
I don't think that's
because the space is infinite. You may be talking about the Milky Galaxy.
Sure.
The Milky Way.
That's the one. Yeah. But on planet Earth, there's only so much that can be explored, which hasn't been explored, including
right.
the ocean. But in terms of what's outside the Milky Way galaxy.
Sure.
Thank
sure.
you so much.
Sure. But
thank
sure.
you so
but,
much.
You know what I mean.
But I did know what you mean. But
both places.
So
like, it's easier to explore space than it is to explore. Like,
well, right. I don't know. All these billionaires need to shit, like, sit the fuck down.
They do need to yeah. shit. Well, here's the thing.
They do need
the,
to shit.
I mean, they had a toilet on the submarine so they could shit. Here's the thing. Both places, if you put a certain amount of pressure on a human body, whether you're going to space or whether you're going into the ocean, you die. That is completely the truth.
I just have so much to say on this. Okay, go ahead, Ashley.
I have so much to say, but I'm like, there are obviously been a lot of jokes on the internet.
Which is wrong.
Uh-huh. It is wrong, but it's like, it's the jokes are by the mass. It's like, it's really hard, I feel like, for a lot of people to take this seriously because it just seems so like, duh, why would you sign up for this? Like,
right.
it just seems so like, mm-hmm. you know, not to be disrespectful, but like stupid. Like, I would never sign up for
I
this
know.
And never pay that money. So
I
it's
know.
Just kind of like, what did you think was going to happen?
Well, God forbid if Virgin or Bezos or Musk like had some terrible shit happen when they went to outer space and they didn't come back. People would probably joke on that too, which is unfortunate and speaks a lot to how the general American public deals with crisis. They
yeah.
just make fun of it.
Do you
yeah.
think that, Brayden, I was going to ask you this, do you think that some people, because there's been a lot of speculation around one of the gentlemen on board, his stepson went to a
Blink-182 yeah.
concert and also was
like flirting
on OnlyFans, showing dick and all that. And a lot of people feel that a lot of people saying, oh, well, that's how some people deal with grief. They, you know, and we've talked about that in the past. I said that when my great grandmother passed away, the only thing I wanted to do was go to the club and dance with my friends.
Yeah, but you didn't film your reaction on TikTok with millions of viewers and start trending.
That's true. You're right. I mean, so do you think that they are desensitized? You think that's how they deal with grief, or you think they're just spoiled brats with money?
I think all of the above. Are you talking about the people that are reacting in the negative way, like Ashley was saying, making fun of the whole situation? Is that what
yeah.
you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
no,
yes, but I also think in terms of the people at home, like that boy who went to the Blink-182 concert, do you think it was he? Because his response was, I'm dealing with grief the best way I know how, and everybody else is like,
well, he also boom. Opened up and said, I only have $100 in my checking account.
I wish.
I just
don't care.
I don't. The empathy is very, 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 very low.
Yeah,
like
100%.
I don't want to sound like a monster, and it's just like obviously,
you are a troll.
Like, I am a troll, but I don't. I'm just like, again, like, what did you think was gonna happen? Like, this is just like so silly, and like, I'm gonna say something.
Say it.
Controversial. Yeah,
controversial.
I've got things to say. As
I
well.
Think that. Sometimes billionaires, sometimes more specifically white billionaires, they think they're invincible. And it's just like they don't even use their common sense. And like, this is what we pay for. Like, the working class makes billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And this is what they choose to spend their money on.
Right.
And it's just like, it's hard to find empathy.
Well, they didn't care. And what's upsetting is the son, the 19-year-old, he did not want to go with his father. And his father was like, it's Father's Day. You want it? Like, his sister just came out and was like, he didn't even want to go. He thought it was lame. And also, he was a little scared of it because there's been several reports about this particular submarine that they found debris of, by the way, being faulty. Like, one of the
years
guys who
ago,
was.
Yeah.
They have flagged, uh-huh. they
yeah.
have flagged the imperfections.
So
the guy who made it was fired.
How? I mean, I guess they couldn't stop you, but it was almost. Like, how was he allowed to do this?
There are
also,
no regulations.
Money talks and bullshit.
Have you
there
seen
are no there
the
are no regulations
of the submarine. It's smaller than the studio we're recording in right now.
Yeah,
and you think you're going to take a structure smaller than this 5x9 studio down 2,400 feet, 2.5 miles into the ocean? You think that this small compact structure is going to survive? So what I was going to say earlier is the Navy has just come out and say, yeah, we knew this combusted hours before it was sent into the middle of the ocean, and it didn't become public because they needed the Oceanic, whatever the fuck the company's called, to tell the families, get consent to tell the media, blah, 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 blah. That takes days and days and days. This was way before we were ever worried about oxygen. They knew that it combusted upon impact down the
3,000 feet.
The compression of the deep waters. They did hear the explosion. That's what the sonar was, but we couldn't.
Talking about they heard some knocking.
Right.
And then somebody put a picture of the people, and the fish and a Little Mermaid getting their song.
Which is not appropriate.
Which is not appropriate, but.
There's a lot of crazy things.
Adam, I want to say, you know what the thing reminds me of, only because I know you know. Remember Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, Divatox thing that she was swimming in to get to Malagor, and it was like this big fish thing, but it was like small enough? That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Like the fact that there wasn't places to sit. You had to sit on the floor.
They sat on the floor.
They were closer than we are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would anybody get into a vessel like that?
Here's
my take. I can't even sit middle seat on Delta.
Here's my take on this whole thing. Like Ashley was saying, it's hard for me to find empathy because this is just silly. And then also, it's not lost on me that we dropped everything. The news cycle ran this for the whole week to rush to aid these people who made a choice.
And that we also already knew that they were already dead.
Right. That we, you know, but like when the ship that had all of the immigrants,
refugees
that capsized.
Not just one ship. Hundreds.
Well, the most recent one I'm talking about.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
The one going to Greece that capsized outside of Greece.
Nobody cares.
No one batted an eye.
Was it because the skin color was different?
Of course they were brown.
Now, I do know, like, and again, sorry, producer coming here. I do know that two of the people on the trip was Pakistani. And that I don't want that to be lost. But I also do want to say, like,
A Pakistani billionaire is different from a refugee of brown skin.
No, 100%. And I just want to talk
also
about
white passing.
I was going to say,
yeah, no,
who are also white passing.
Talked about colorism a lot here on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not trying to be insensitive. We're just trying to figure out what are billionaires thinking. You know, we had the same feelings and the same thoughts. If you go back and listen, when Elon and all of them were going to space. We were like, what are you doing? They just like, we're going to do this. We ain't had no training. We don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to do this. And now we see Elon and
Zuckerberg
want to fight. What do y'all think about them wanting to get in the cage and fight?
I don't give a fuck. Both of them get in the cage and kill each other. Who cares? Next.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and Andrew Tate is charging everybody $99 for a t-shirt that he probably made on Cricut that says free Tate. No. I'm true. He got a $5 shirt from Michaels. Got on Cricut, made a t-shirt, free 99, and said, I want you free Tate, and it's $99.
I wonder who will buy it. I know who will buy
it.
Well,
Brayden, we know.
Well, Brayden, what's crazy is the fragile cisgender men, and this fragile cisgender men in this world, they supported
him.
Careful
with that word.
Cis.
Sorry, cis. But that
we don't want to offend.
We don't want to. Now they offended. What the fuck? But how did we get to this? They always turn it back on us. Like it always happens like that. But my issue is like why, like they got upset when they were like, oh no, he didn't do no wrong. And what was the preacher that had the situation? Ashley, do you remember? Kevin Samuels, I think was his name, where people were like, he was telling like women shouldn't be this or XYZ, and people were upset when he died, and he was just like, women shouldn't be big and all this, and then he died with diabetes in the bed with a bigger woman. So that was, you know, men.
Just men. Just sissy gendered men.
Men making wrong decisions for their life. So listen. Prayers and loves and sorrows to the families.
Yeah, no, for real.
To the families of those who lost someone, because we don't want to be insensitive. But what I will encourage moving forward, everyone should be thinking about decisions that they're making and putting their family and friends in before they make those decisions. And with that, we're going to take a little bit of break. And we are going to have my friend, Mr. Adam Bucci, come on and tell us all about Final Girl, Final Queer, and just Final everything. So we'll be right back.
Hey, Pride fam, We would love to hear from you, so please feel free to email us at pridetheseries@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at pridethepodcast. Can't wait to hear from you all, and remember to celebrate Pride 365.
Welcome back, everyone. I am super excited today. I have been looking at this artist stuff for so long now. It's so cool. I'm very excited. We're big horror fans here. So welcome, artist, actor, and producer, Adam Bucci. Hi, Adam.
Boo.
Hey.
This is...
Hello.
Yo, it's so cool. We're geeking. So we are big horror fans, even though Io's scared of horror. But
Io loves horror.
She loves it.
I like the discourse around horror, right. But I am scary, even though Ashley has a different opinion.
Yeah, no, you just don't like certain types of horror, which I am the same.
Right.
Okay.
So Adam, tell us, like, how did you do you have a love of horror? Like, is this how this all got started? Give us a little bit of background information on it.
I hate horror. No, just kidding. obviously, I love it. Yeah, it's funny because I can't even remember how young I was when it really was like, oh my God, I love this. Mm-hmm. But, or like why I just kept growing. I just remember watching movies like Scream and, you know, quirky movies like the Tim Burton movies, Edward Scissorhands. And I really loved that quirkiness in things. That's really where my love of like dark and quirky and a little off center began. And then I think Scream, looking back, was really one of those movies that, you know, it brought horror back in such a big way to everybody. So as a kid in middle school or elementary school, watching that kind of changed everything too for me. So it made me want to watch all horror before that, you know, like that kind of disappeared. And then growing up, like, and then in college, no one really loved horror like I did. And I didn't even like think of myself as a horror fanatic, but I didn't have a common group of friends with that common kind of love for it until really when I moved to Los Angeles 14, 15 years ago, and you kind of find your tribe and your people. Mm-hmm. And I think horror is such a great, it's such a great community of people that respect film and just are, they're the sweetest, nicest people I've come across. So, we have so much fun watching something that's super campy or super, you know, dark and twisted. So it definitely always resonated with me because of the underdog, the like those Universal monster pictures, even like going back, like that always was playing a part as well in my love for horror. Because I felt like that. I felt like the outcast. I felt like that growing up. And I never really realized the connection with horror until like my later years, like in my 20s.
Right.
Yeah.
So you said, you mentioned Scream. So then I have to ask you the most cliche question. What's your favorite scary movie?
I'm just like a quick answer would be Scream. But sure. I have definitely like a list.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're all the same. Our Scream is like our favorite.
Well, you know, Ashley made a comment about Scream. It is the most consistent horror franchise that there is, where it's just it's very cut and dry what it is. You know yeah. that you're gonna have killers in it. You know that these are gonna be boyfriends or families of somebody.
Meta slasher.
Yeah, it's very yeah. You know, and you have other films that's been changed and everything. But one interesting thing I saw, what first kind of like got me in, is I saw you did Final Girl shirts for yeah. Kyle Richards, Jamie Lee Curtis, Andy Matichak. How did that come about?
Pretty crazy how it came about. Once I started doing I was doing jackets, those hand-painted jackets. And gradually I was like, I really need to work on things that are at a different price point. And like, let me try t-shirts and screen printing. And I just wanted to do something simple. And I didn't invent the word Final Girl. We all know that. Or the phrase. But I was like, let me just do my own handwriting, like my own like way of writing it with the, you know, the blood splatter and just something simple and go with that. And then Judy Greer, who was in Halloween.
Love her.
She's amazing. She kind of was introduced to my work through a mutual friend via Instagram. Mm-hmm. And she would always comment on my stuff and like it. And then she wound up buying some stuff over the holidays during 2021, I think. And after Halloween Kills had ended, she had bought some stuff. And
she did have a Final Girl shirt.
Well, you also have a movie, obviously, right? So she...
That's what I said. She can't have a Final Girl shirt.
Yeah, so she goes, she didn't buy that one. She bought some other stuff. And she goes, you know, Jamie... And she said it so casually. She's like, you know, Jamie and Andy would really love these shirts. And I was like...
You know,
like she just said it like as if I'm friends with, like, you know, Jamie and Andy.
You're in the clique, Adam.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I was like, Judy, I will... gift you anything. Where are you? I will send you whatever you need. Like, just please have them. So I sent her three shirts mm-hmm. with her order that she had made, thinking she would wear one with them just because, even though I knew she wasn't a Final Girl anymore. And then that was it. I never put any pressure on her to, like, tell me, are you going to give it to her? When are you going to give it to her? Like, I had no idea. So Christmas, it was for Christmas. She got them for them. But, you know, January hit, and then my husband woke me up one morning. He's like, Adam, Jamie Lee's wearing your shirt, like, on set at Halloween Ends. And yeah, I like lost my mind because that was pretty cool. So that really started the momentum of, like, me as an artist having, like, what's the word? Like, legit. I kind of got my foot in the door. Like,
yeah, that's pretty huge. People,
like, we made it. We made it.
Yeah, but, like, not, I'm not, like, buying a yacht and a jet, believe me. I'm still, like, in my one-bedroom apartment. But it gave me, like street cred, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I never had done a convention before. So, like, when I started doing conventions, I did a couple over the last year and a half. I was like the new guy in town, like with all these other artists and vendors that are used to this. Like, I've never done conventions, and I got so much positive feedback, and so many people came up to me like, "Oh, you did that shirt for her." Like they recognized that. So that was like, that was the moment I was like, I can use this to really help the give brand. Myself, you know, a brand or like mm-hmm. notoriety. So it really, really did help a lot. I expanded with the Final Boy, and I just brought up Final Queer, and again, I'm just, it's just my own aesthetic, my own handwriting, my own painting kind of strokes. I'm not trying to reinvent any of these phrases, but I am trying to give more notice to, like, the Final Boy now and Final Queer, because some people don't know what Final Girl even means, so
right.
I say that to some people, and then, you know, show the boys and queers, and they're all existing.
How do you feel about the queer representation in horror right now? I feel like it's progressed, but it's still not where it needs to be.
Yeah, well, as an actor, I 7 years ago, I would say, when I was not married to my husband at the time, we were dating, and he was on a show and I was on things, people did not want us to talk about it. That was only 7 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
So I remember my agents, like, I didn't tell them anything about my sexuality. And I also, like, I was a late bloomer. I had come out when I was 28. I never dated men before I met my husband. So I also had a different way of handling it. I still was going through a lot. So if people asked me if I was gay or straight, I got angry because I was like, you have no right to ask me that. You know, like,
right.
I was holding on to that. So I didn't tell, like, everyone in the world. And then, fast forward to now, my husband and I have a production company, and we're making queer content. We're making LGBTQ, you know, rom-coms and horror films. And we have a horror film right now premiering in festivals that's a werewolf LGBTQ story. So our goal and our mission statement is to bring more, you know, queer content to make it feel just like it's there. We're not beating a message over your head. We're just like, it's present. It's the world. We're not teaching you a lesson.
Right. You're just existing.
But you get a lesson out of it if you're someone that, you know, your eyes are wide open. You're like, whoa, that's what love can be. Like, you know, or that's, they exist in a horror film, and, you know, they're the final boy, you know, or girl. So we're making our own stuff because it's not out there enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in the last couple of years, we are seeing, like, an uptick in it, and we're so glad about that. But of course, it could be better. I think it's.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's. I think there's a lot of content right now that's geared towards the queer community, but I feel like there needs to be more that makes it a little more universal of a message, so that the people that need to be watching it feel comfortable watching it. And I'm not trying to say that like we need to like tiptoe and make straight people comfortable, but we also need to like not, like I said, beat them over the head and make them feel like they can't relate to any of these characters or these storylines. So yeah. We're trying to like
find that balance.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's important to have both. I think we need more of one or the other right now when people are really like hating on the community, like parts of America. It's awful. It's really disturbing. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. Do you think that it's you know, one of the most recent I can really think of is Scream, the new Scream 5 and 6. Obviously, they have Mindy, who's a character in the queer community, a forefront. You kind of have, I wish that they would make Chad that, because that'd be great.
No, they've hinted that he might be bisexual.
That'd be great, because I love it for a multitude of reasons. Do you think that people have really kind of adjusted to those characters? Because I see a lot of Mindy hate online, and people say, oh, we just hate her, but they don't really tell you why they hate her. And to me, I'm like, that character trope that she's playing is no different than Jamie Kennedy, who played her Uncle Randy, and it's no different than, you know, Hayden Panettiere, who played Kirby. So do you feel that people are saying that they hate her because of the queer representation, or do you feel it's because maybe like all four leads are of color of that movie now, of that franchise? How do you feel about like that in general, and what have been your feedback on it?
Well, I love it. Jasmine specifically, I love her character and her work in general. And I've had the pleasure of speaking with her and getting a piece to her, and she's so nice. And so maybe that helps me like her, the character, so much. But no, I like wanted more of her in the movie. You know, like that character is so fun and so witty, and it didn't bump me at all. And it's a shame if it bumps someone else that there's a lesbian or a queer person in a horror film. It's hard to, I mean, horror fans are so cutthroat. So our fans really could just be going after a character because they don't like the way it's written, or they don't like the way the storyline. It could have nothing to do with color or sexuality. Yeah. They could just be so hardcore like genre that they don't like this. Like, I don't know what, I don't want to say like that community that's hating on Mindy is homophobic.
Right. Of course.
But I'm sure there are some that are, you know,
for sure.
I think it definitely, for a lot of people, it just, you know, the franchise went, and I think the franchise went from being, you know, Sidney, Gale, and Dewey, and like it is still, they're still ingrained in the history of the movies, but it's not their movies anymore. It's now going into other movies.
You have to move on.
And I think for some, oh gosh, that's really great at quoting. But that happens, and I think that it's interesting because, you know, when Scream, I think about Scream 1 when it first came out, there was no people of color, there was no queer representation, except, I mean, Billy and Stu kind of wanted each other, but we'll put a pin in that.
Right, the undertones.
You know, it wasn't until Scream 2 where we got to see people of color. And then Part 3, you had one. And then, you know, so I think with this franchise now, they're really trying to tap into not just horror lovers everywhere, but I think that younger people and a new generation of people. So I think it's a good thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found, like, at some of these conventions I've done, some of these bigger ones, again, I'm new to it still. Mm-hmm. The majority of people at these conventions that love this genre are people of color.
Yeah.
And queer, a lot of them, and I'm so glad they're represented in a huge franchise like that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the documentaries on Shudder? There's the queer one. It's like it's actually a docuseries. Yeah, Queer Fear. Oh, yeah.
No, I honestly, I want you so bad. I haven't had a chance.
You
to like
you should definitely watch it. I watched it last year when it came out. Yeah, yes, they need to. There's so much information that definitely has to be like a season 2, because they didn't even tap into like modern. They kind of stopped at like 1999. And there's still like 20 more years of like queer representation in horror.
Yeah. Wow. No, I followed like all of them when they were making it and interviews, and was getting little sound bites and pieces, but I haven't like sat down and watched it, which I have to do. So.
Oh yeah, you definitely should. It's amazing. Yeah.
So let's...
the other one, if you end up liking that one, you should also watch Horror Noir, which is about
Pinot Noir,
black people,
mid-sized car.
Shut up, Adam. This Adam, not this Adam.
Horror Noir.
So anyway, let's talk about your brand, Small Town Weirdo. I'm in love with that because I think I was a small town weirdo, or at least I thought I was. Everyone probably was just like, whatever, ain't nobody stunting you. But yeah, let's tell the listeners, where did you come up with that?
So during the pandemic, when everything stopped, my husband and I both were like, what can we do in this apartment? And I went back to my art roots and he went back to writing, and he was literally in the closet with a desk writing, and I took over the apartment with supplies and started painting because I'd seen some pieces on fabric before, and I wanted to experiment. And what the name came from, just wanting to have it show my love of things that were quirky and a little off, but not always about horror. Because I love horror, but I'm not just a horror brand, that's not just me. But I think weirdo is a word that like always felt like a bad word, and sometimes we hear it in shows now, like that weirdo has become like part of, like, it's like I should get that tattooed somewhere because I feel like it's a part of me now. Like every time I hear the word, I have such a reaction because I've been trying so hard to make it a positive word. So when I hear it now, it shows, even if it's a comedy, and it's like, you're such a weirdo, or you're such, I'll be like, I get like offended a little bit. Like, don't say it like that, you know? Because I'm trying to make it feel like a positive, like, it's kind of like normal. Like, who wants to be normal?
I have a hat literally that has a big letters that says weirdo.
Yeah.
Every time I wear it, I get compliments.
Yeah. And I have those shirts that I've seen with like weirdo across it. Whenever we wear them out, like, people always comment on it because they're not expecting someone to just proudly be walking around with like weirdo across your chest in neon pink or green, you know? And I think when people see that on myself or on my husband or other friends of mine that, you know, you don't think of, when you think of weirdo, you have something in your mind of what a weirdo is, right? So when you see like just a nice, like, group of friends and like someone's wearing it and like they're not causing any trouble and like, and you have it on your chest, like it's a positive thing, you know? And I like when people react like, oh my God, I love your shirt. And
you girls, watch out for those weirdos.
Yeah.
We are. Again, weirdos means what it is, what it is. It can mean other things too. Like, I'm not like gonna be like so mad if someone calls someone a weirdo, but I come from New Jersey, and I lived in a suburb outside of the city, so I wasn't like in farm country, small town America, but I felt like I was isolated because I was a loner, kind of. I was just a artsy kid. I played sports, but in the art class I excelled. I tried to do everything, but I didn't have a group of friends. I just was kind of a loner. So thinking of like a small town hero, but a small town weirdo, kind of flip it, and that's kind of where it was born in a way.
I love that.
The same time as,
but in suburbs, like that's where those people are born, because like suburbs were like made to be like conforming. Yeah. So like, of course, that's where like someone who doesn't fit inside that box
manifests.
Is gonna come
from. Right. Yeah.
I don't even know what. I actually just thought of when I was getting dressed today, thinking of like, oh, I wonder what we'll talk about, like, and what should I bring up. I never even thought about this, but I read something. I forget what I read or watched about kids growing up in the gay community or kids not knowing sexuality, and they would use words like girl, like they would call a guy like, you're such a girl, because they didn't even know what words to use to kind of pick on people with. And I remember today, like, I was called that so much growing up.
Wow.
Like, just a girl, like even on my soccer team, I remember some kid calling me a girl, and there was no reason why. I never knew why. Like, I just was dressed nice and had a nice haircut. Like, I wasn't a flamboyant kid to even make a kid think I was different. I just don't know why they called me girl. So like, I wear that final girl shirt all the time now. And today I was thinking like, weirdo, girl, queer, like all those words that I would be like so offended by, I proudly wear on my chest now. And it's like,
you took it back.
Yeah, I really am like taking that back. And I think subconsciously I've been doing that right along with my designs, like putting something on your back or on your chest that you can wear confidently that used to feel like a gross word. It's like giving beauty to something that was grotesque
to
you.
Absolutely.
I love that.
So are your designs, like, do you design them in an, like, or you draw them and then take high def pictures of them and then, like, put them on fabric, or do you, like, hand draw?
Oh, it's all hand painted.
Work.
Ah. So I don't even trace, really, because every, this gets into the boring technical side of it, but everything needs like a white base of paint, a couple layers even, to let the colors pop.
Yeah.
Because denim right. soaks up everything. So even if I were to trace something, and as soon as I put that base layer on, I lose it. Mm-hmm. I lose the trace.
Yeah.
I just literally like have a picture up on my iPad. I might have another reference, and I'm really just like trying to like, if it's something where I want it to be exact, I'm really just trying to do the best job I can to like proportion it the right way. And mm-hmm. I'm actually working on a Muhammad Ali piece right now.
Ooh.
So it's totally not, you know, that's what I mean. Like, it's not hard. It's not even quirky. It's just someone knows my work and wanted that on their jacket. And
right.
That's wow. dope.
He's a hero. He's not a weirdo at all. So he's I'm excited that I'm doing it. So.
So yes. Could you draw my hero, which is Cher Horowitz in Clueless?
Yes.
So just have something on the back, like, you know, as if, and just her like.
Yeah, I did Moira from Schitt's Creek for my mom. Like,
oh,
you know.
Oh, that's sweet.
I love doing anything. It's just the horror stuff gets the most reaction.
Right. Yeah,
I think because that community has chosen to follow me, and it's I'm so glad. And of course, I love it. So
would you ever have a booth at RuPaul's Drag Race, Drag Con?
I would love to. I, again, since I'm so new at like forming connections in that convention world, I feel like I miss out on opportunities because I don't even know who to contact. Like I just started this in 2021 and mm-hmm. last year was my first year of doing conventions pretty much. So mm-hmm.
yeah, I could totally see you having a booth there and then they would eat it up.
Well, you know what? You're at the right place. You're here on Pride the Podcast. This is going to be
out
there.
People
are going to hear this. We've had several of the RuPaul Drag Race queens on our show.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be good and we're going to put it out there in the atmosphere for you to get that because I think that it would be really amazing. So I have one more question actually and I'm sure Adam you have something.
Well, I was going to say I used to be a booth bitch for a fellow
not a booth bitch.
A booth bitch for a fellow artist who would do cons and so he would do Bushwig here in Brooklyn and stuff like that. So if you need a booth bitch, you know, just let me know.
Yeah, call out.
It's a lot of work. These conventions are a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but it's so mm-hmm. fun. It's so much
Oh, it
fun.
Is. It's so worth it. It's yeah. just the getting it together and you're like if you saw my apartment before a convention and then coming back with it, like,
ooh.
Rough.
Ah.
Oh, so I wanted to know, who is your favorite final girl?
Wow, you took my question.
I think, like, growing up, Sydney from Scream was, like, who I, like, in live time was watching those movies. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Seeing a final girl grow in her journey. But now is like everything's out there and like revisiting so much horror in the last 10 years with some of my great friends I had that love that genre. Like, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis, like the OG. Like, of
the
course.
Queen.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to say my favorite, but like, she probably is my favorite now because just yeah. because the impact she's had on it all.
Mm-hmm. Oscar winner, Jamie.
I mean, well,
Curtis.
She is the reason that. You know, stuff was able to come back. That's why they're bringing back some of these old school horror movies and everyone's like revisiting their role.
I love that she loves the fans and she loves what she knows what she's doing and the impact it has.
Right.
She did it for us. I mean, she literally came back because she was like, I'm never doing another Halloween again.
I would really hate yeah. if she actually like hated the genre, hated the fans. It was just like,
I know that
well,
was
she does, get away from me, you
she,
bum.
She does hate Halloween Resurrection. I'm so sorry, Adam, to tell
I
you that.
I mean,
but, and she actually
I'm
hates
not gonna, I'm not going to be mad at her for that.
And she, right. and she also hates. And she
y'all
also
ain't going to sit here and bash Halloween Resurrection.
And she also is not that big of a fan of H2O
Adam,
either.
We watched it this past Halloween and you were like, this is pretty bad.
Oh, no, it's garbage.
I was like, yeah, it's bad.
It is absolute dumpster fire.
You're like, but it's my girl.
But it's, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
It's close to your heart.
Yeah.
I want to know. What do you think is the most underrated horror movie? Ooh. And then what do you think is the most overrated?
Overrated.
Overrated and underrated.
This is great.
I could get in trouble with some of these answers.
I was going to say.
I mean, you don't have to be disrespectful.
You know when they all just blur together? I'm trying things I've watched recently because it's so hard to like remember things. But I think Poltergeist is one of my favorite films. And would you consider that straight up horror? I don't know. It's really
absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty horrific.
Yeah. That one like really affected me growing up. And like I don't hear enough of like
I mean
like
the real life stars of that it's horrific. I mean there are most of like a lot of them are dead and it's really sad. Like,
oh yeah, they were cursed.
Yeah. Like yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I watched all those documentaries and but that movie for some reason really infected me growing up and
because it makes every kid terrified of clowns.
Yes. Like freeze outside your window.
Hello. Prime example. Hate clowns.
I don't know if it's underrated. It's just I know it people love that movie. It's done so well. But again, it's never like I don't hear it in people's top fives, you know, like when
yeah,
right.
I hear that. Mm-hmm.
It's always like the Exorcist.
Right.
Or
Scream.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw, Scream, Exorcist.
Freddy Krueger.
I love all of them. And overrated?
Don't worry, we won't tell nobody.
Right.
No, it's hard to say. Overrated. I don't even know anymore. I want to say I wish I liked the Babadook more than I did.
Okay, I hear that.
Same.
Uh-huh. Same. And the witch as well.
I couldn't even get
through
the witch.
People say the witch and Babadook are two of the best horror movies. And, yeah. And Adam, I know Adam has
has It Follows.
It Follows.
That's at the top of my overrated list.
I love It Follows.
Okay, so it was wonderful having you.
No, it's crazy because those three movies are what everyone talks. They're like, mm-hmm. Yo, have you not seen those?
Yeah,
those are
Babadook
at the top of the list for people. They're like,
what's the one with Toni Collette? Hereditary.
Hereditary.
I like Hereditary. I
was. Okay, but that Ari asked are so specific. Like, do you get like? And also, it's interesting that you guys don't like the ones that are all like grief based. It's like the Babadook represents her and her son's grief, and it's like you're never going to kill your grief, but you will have to feed it in the basement.
That's true. I do have to revisit it.
That's true.
I feel like when films get such a hype, like some of those films are like, you have to see this, and you wait too long to see it, you have all that built up, like you're expecting the best thing ever, and it just lets you down because you're hearing everyone else's.
That's how I think that's Bridesmaids for a while.
That's how The Ring.
Ooh, shade.
That's how The Ring was for me. Like, because I was in high school when The Ring came out, and just aged myself.
Stop telling people.
And everybody was like, oh my God, it's so scary. And the whole thing of her coming out of the TV. And so when I finally got to see it, it was scary, but it wasn't as like.
Did you watch Scary Movie 3 first?
No.
You know what was that movie for me was What Lies Beneath. I love What Lies Beneath. I love it too. But it was so hyped up for me that it was like so scary. Like these girls could not sleep that night because they were so terrified. And when I watched it was just like. I mean, that was all right.
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's a good
I get
story.
It. Yeah. Sometimes I hate like when they overhype or like Ma, they show the whole movie in the trailer and it's like, okay, well.
Which sucks because Ma is actually very fun.
I enjoy Ma.
Yeah. If you're with a good group of friends watching it, I feel like it takes it to another level.
Yeah. Pop an edible and you're going to have a great time.
Yes. But generally, like, kind of, I'm such a creature feature person too.
We haven't even dove into that.
Right, yeah,
that's a whole other show.
it really is.
But because like I love vampires and werewolves and creatures, and I love practical effects, and we're currently working on a werewolf piece. We're very judgmental, like in a filmmaker way, when we watch some of those movies coming out, because I'm most of the time disappointed. With how they present, because nothing will ever beat The Howling and American Werewolf in London and you know those transformations. So
what's the one? Oh gosh, he's like the king of practical effects and like
Rick Baker.
The Thing.
Who?
The Thing.
Oh, the thing. Oh yeah, all those are so amazing, you know. And so we're trying to really use practical in the things that we make too, and it makes such a difference.
I feel like the horror movie community, because like I watch a lot of like YouTube videos like discussing.
Yeah,
horror. I do that actually more than I watch horror. They love because
you love horror.
I will say, if anyone listening is shameless plug here, if anyone's listening in the LA area, our short film Let It Kill You is a LGBTQ themed werewolf piece that actually is like a prequel to a bigger feature that we have shopping around.
Oh yeah.
So got a little taste of the romance. It's not like in your face, but the bigger world that we have created is a love story. And we use all practical effects. Amazing artist George Troster from Sci-Fi's Face Off. He built the werewolf for us.
Me and Adam used to watch Face Off. I miss that show.
Yeah, so that premieres at the Chinese Theater June 24th. So Dances with Films is the festival. So hit me up on social media if you guys are listening and want to know about tickets and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
We're in LA for that.
I love that.
I'll send you the link.
Yes, right. We would. So your husband, Adam, he most recently portrayed Nicholas Cassadine on General Hospital. Favorite. I love the show. I've been in the show. I love Frank. All that's great. But he did a movie called The Lurker that was fan-fucking-tastic. And please let him know that I thought that
movie, will let him know that, yeah.
That movie was so good. So watching his work and watching any of his films, like, what did you think of The Lurker? Like, what did you think of all his, like, horror doings? Of course, bias.
I haven't seen The Lurker yet.
The marriage is over. Wow.
But Adam hasn't seen it yet either.
Oh, well. Oh,
okay, he's one.
You know, some actors don't want to see what they do.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes Adam will, like, it was actually the other day we saw it come up on the TV, like as something playing on one of the streamers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, The Lurker. I don't know if I want to watch that yet. Like, he kept putting it off. So I'll watch it when he's ready.
He should definitely watch it. Like, it's very ode to like 80s horror. Like, it's so well done.
Oh, good. I'll be very glad to hear that. Yeah. So maybe we'll watch.
Yeah, tonight. And Scott Taylor Compton's in it. Naomi Grossman.
She's great,
yeah. They have a really good cast of people, but he did a really, really good job in that.
Oh, I will tell him that. He'll be really happy to hear that.
Yes.
It's true. I think Darrell is like our resident horror historian.
Horror and soap historian. Like,
right.
It's true.
I know a lot of things. And what I hate to know now, we are out of time. I am so sad.
I can sit here and talk horror with you like all day.
You have to come back. In fact, official invitation, please come back to us around Halloween time and we will get into some more because we have to get into the creature features and everything, which you even deeper.
Yes. And I have some fun stuff planned for October within Los Angeles. I might be doing a really cool installation at a hotel.
Ooh.
With some of my work. So definitely if you want to follow me on social media, I'll be posting updates this summer as I prep and stuff like that. So
nice.
Yeah. Dope. I am definitely gonna buy my Final Girl t-shirt right now.
And she made that. Like, we are all going to get one. Like, I have to decide if I want Final Boy, Final Queer, Final Girl. I might want all three.
I was about to say, get all three.
Yeah, I think so. So, Adam, tell everyone.
No, I'm literally on the checkout page.
No, I was getting it right now.
Thank you for the support.
Of course.
So please let everyone know where they can follow you, where they can go and purchase. Or IO, you can tell people where they can go purchase. Please let us know.
Smalltownweirdo.com is the website. Smalltown_weirdo is my Instagram handle, and in the link it has like a, you can click the link and it has a bunch of other links like my website and even links to the short film and everything I'm doing in other areas.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yay.
Well, this was,
thank you guys so much.
This was so great. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'd love to.
Bye.
And we're back.
And we're back. That's my favorite thing that you do.
I know. I've started that.
Yeah. I like it. Thanks.
I like it.
It's okay.
I really like Adam's shirts.
Adam for Adam.
I never was on that.
You were never on Adam. Which ones were you on?
Why were you on that? Your name is literally Adam.
I don't know.
Where were you on?
Because you didn't want to
quickly. Well, that one was like when we were in college.
Oh, Adam was on Bear 411. See ya.
It was like, what was it? Yeah,
Bear. What are the Bear ones now?
I don't know.
You're out of practice.
Adam got
she's
a
cat.
I just know
woman.
It's like Growler and Scruff are still hot.
Adam going in his 13th year of marriage.
It has not been 13 years.
It's been three.
It has been, almost.
It's been
almost
two three. And a half.
It's been almost three?
Two and a half.
It'll be three in February.
Mm-hmm. Well, good goddamn almighty on the cross of Jesus and Mary and
so
Joseph.
When is the, when is the wedding? When is the wedding happening? Are you giving us a pride exclusive?
No.
So the wedding's not happening.
So we're not doing a live podcast.
But I think
Oh my god, at the wedding.
Yeah, the fuck we are. We are definitely doing it.
Cuz I'm gonna come and be in the wedding.
And Adam will be running sound.
Adam will be running tech.
So you're going to have to run over and come back because we don't have the time.
Wait, I think you should put it out there, though, Adam, what type of ring you want, just so people know.
Does Sharon listen to the podcast?
Probably not.
He might. We never talked about it.
What do you all talk
as
about?
As a producer of Pride the Podcast, you should be talking about it at all times. Uh-huh. This pipe.
Bitch.
No,
oh, I do at work.
I want to know what type of ring.
Well, you better work, bitch. I need you to talk to your man while y'all pillow talking. Talk about
Would
pride.
Would you want like a diamond ring or just like
If you want a diamond, I have a diamond grown brilliance that can help you.
Would you want like a solid like metal or, you know.
Yeah, just a metal.
What about aluminum?
Just a,
what about
just a maybe a band?
A nice like band with like maybe a stone on it. What? Not like
not necessarily a diamond, but like a stone.
Yeah.
Like a
you want your birthstone
pebble
maybe. I saw a ring the other day, oddly enough, on TikTok. They were like, it was three, it was one big band but three different sands. One was like from their like first vacation where they met and a beach like where
how
they went on a honeymoon.
How did they do that?
They went oh, it was a it was a crazy process how they made it.
That sounds
but it was
terrible.
Beautiful.
So they did some gay shit. So
I'm sure they
so
broke
Adam,
it.
This is it. So this is it. This is who you marry.
Girl, I don't know. Oh. I mean, maybe. I don't want to say never, but like
never ever.
Ever.
No.
How do we get on this topic?
I don't know.
This is not what
I don't know.
To the green room.
I don't know. What's Charlotte say? I don't know.
I'm a little drunk.
What did we discuss in the green room that we were going to
so
talk about
we were going to talk about those two bitches who called
Two bitches.
Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert was had their hands on their hips and
Lauren Boebert.
So like we were talking in the first segment about the billionaires and all that, they're starting to turn their backs on each other. And what's crazy is
let him off.
I would love to know what Lauren and Marjorie, who have been on the same side this whole time, were fighting about.
You don't know what they were fighting about?
For Marjorie to call. That's why I'm gonna give it over to you. While Marjorie was sitting over there calling her bitch. And now we have Braden Sonny Bradley.
Hi, it's me, Braden Sonny Bradley, on location at the White House floor in Washington, D.C. This is local channel 132, Pix 11. I don't know. Okay, so what had happened was, that went on too long. What had happened was, remember back in the day, it was a bill that didn't get passed. It was an article of such that Marjorie Taylor Greene agreed to co-sign for the impeachment of Joe Biden. Didn't get past the House, didn't get past the Senate, blah, blah, blah. It was basically just dead upon arrival. So today.
Go ahead.
So. Dorel.
Sorry, I was thinking on there. Oh, shit.
I think we should take a moment.
I think we should. I'm so sorry. That wasn't even.
That's actually not even our brand.
No,
or
that wasn't. I
think we're going to have to edit. I'm going to make an executive producer decision. Uh-huh. To edit that out.
You have the power.
I do.
You know you have the power. You have the power line. I'm so sorry.
I think we should just start completely over.
No.
I do not.
No. I don't know. Keep going. 2-3-2-1.
2-3-2-1.
Yeah.
So, originally, Marjorie Taylor Greene had proposed a bill to impeach President Joe Biden on bullshit evidence.
What
blah,
about
blah,
Hunter?
Blah, 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 blah. I'll get to that in a second. So it didn't pass the House. It didn't pass the Senate because there was no grounds, blah, blah, blah. So the other day, Lauren Boebert put it up again and put her name on it instead of Marjorie Taylor.
And it passed.
Marjorie Taylor mean. No, it didn't pass. Oh. But the reason that she did it was because of all of the Hunter Biden situation that's going on right now. And so Marjorie Taylor mean was not.
Keep it going.
Not informed of what Lauren Boebert was doing. And so when Lauren Boebert brought it up to the floor, Marjorie Taylor Meade was like, you bitch, that's my bill. and literally said all that. She was like, I've been by your side. I've been blah, 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 blah. And on the house floor,
the girls are fighting.
A Congress, they said that. A congresswoman of the United States called another congresswoman of the United States. Granted, they're uneducated and Republican. We know this. Mm-hmm. But called another congresswoman a bitch on the floor.
This, well, she's called her what I've been calling her this whole time.
Well, yeah, but you're not a congresswoman on the floor. We can say whatever we want, but it's about the decorum of how you act as a representative of the United States while you are in Congress. Literally, you are in Congress voting on a bill. You don't call your colleague a bit. Where's the HR in the United States government? What I want to know. Because if we were to call someone a bitch at work, Darrell, what would we would be striked, maybe even fired. Honestly,
it depends on what job. Because I have called two people at my job a bitch, and I'm still there. But okay, but yes, in the grand scheme of things, Brayden is right about that. It's like a. There is a certain type of
decorum. You just don't conduct yourself that way.
There's a certain type of decorum. There's a certain type of decorum. But what I think is interesting was I saw this one woman who she was like on Twitter, and her name is Kason, but she was like, I'm Republican. She's saying, we did not send you two there to embarrass us in this way. Like, what's going on? So what I'm excited about is that the people who voted for them and the people who voted for Trump are starting to see and say, not all of them, but a portion of them are starting to be like, hey, this is crazy. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're embarrassed that you're making me look stupid.
I hope so, Darrell. But when Trump admitted to grabbing pussies, his polls went up. But I will say, since the whole, like, indictment has come out, his poll numbers have gone down. But it doesn't matter because he's still leading in the GOP primary.
And again, we talked about this on the podcast previously, guys. He can be the president from prison. There is no law.
That, in my opinion, I think that's why he is running for president, so he doesn't have to go to prison in hopes that he wins.
No, but he. How insane is that? But it's insane. Bonkers. But what's even more insane is he could still go to prison and still be elected president, and our president could be giving a special cell in prison because there is no law that says you cannot do that.
Is anybody working on a law? You
cannot do it because we're about to be in the middle of primaries. Carrie Lake literally said, we will, first of all, she said, I'll shoot anybody because we're NRA members. But she also stated that we would rather have him serving America from behind bars than have Joe Biden. And I have people with me. So, and as Adam said, that is so ghetto.
I don't know if that is necessarily reality, though, because we were at The View the other week and they talked about the pocket pardon.
Yeah, the pocket pardon.
And Sunny brought up a good point that she thinks that Trump has a pocket pardon, whatever, regardless.
He wrote for himself.
I don't think that, though, he could act as a president in jail.
Well, Sunny is the one who said it.
Which is why I think that he's running for president in order to not go to jail to serve as president. Does that make sense?
It does. Uh-huh. But what Sonny, you need to come on the podcast. What Sonny was saying.
I am on the podcast.
Sonny Bradley. But what Sonny was saying, her husband is fine, but put a pin in that.
Manny.
But what Sonny was saying is like, there is no law, unfortunately, where he could not actually serve in prison. She said it would be unprecedented. It would be unheard of. She said, but if his supporters try to make enough noise, it could happen because there's nothing written and there's nothing we could do about it at this present moment. And Whoopi was like, well, then the laws need to change. And Sonny was like, absolutely. But as we're about to go into the 2024 primaries,
there's nothing we can do right now.
But we can't have the president's cabinet meeting in prisons. We can't have Secret Service in prison.
He would be given a special cell.
So he wouldn't be in prison.
But they said he would be given a special
cell. It wouldn't be in prison. That's not what imprisonment means.
Right. Not the imprisonment that millions of Americans and people around the world and universe voters face, but he would be given as General Hospital, he would be in Spring Ridge where people can come visit him and sit at a table and touch him and hug them if they need to and have like free reign. They're trying to keep him on contract. It's so dumb. But listen, I'm just going to say this,
but I also said this in 2016. I do have confidence that with all the bullshit that has happened since 2020 when he's out of office, I think the vast majority of Americans have sort of woken up, and I'm going to say the word woke. I think they've woken up.
Not woke.
Yeah, just get on their nerves. I don't think that he has
a real chance.
He has a chance, but I don't think he's like, when it comes down to Republican, he's going to be the leading, in my opinion, the leading nominee against whoever is the Democratic leading nominee, if mm-hmm. it's Biden or not. I just don't think, with all that's going on, that he's going to.
So.
I know.
I'm fingers are crossed. I mean, it's either him or Ron DeSantis.
Well, and Ron DeSantis is trailing in the polls.
Oh, he's trailing now?
Yeah, he'll come back up when he gets to like start debating on like the
one of them
stage,
Florida Gators get him. Ooh. Just bite his finger. Don't eat him up. Just take his finger.
Not like, just the finger.
Well, you know what it is? Because I don't need him to sign nothing. And it's like Lake Placid. Like, Adam, tell us about Lake Placid before we go. Tell us, you went to Lake Placid. We love that movie. Tell everybody how mm-hmm. that went.
It was a great trip. It was like the, how do I say this correct? It's Adirondack Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Adirondack.
Like, area. So we hit Lake George first and made our way up to Lake Placid. And then all these little, like, small New York towns. It was really nice. In the mountains, Lake Placid was cute. Way, like, the food was way too expensive. But I get it because, you know.
Did you take pictures? Mm-hmm. I know you took pictures, but you take, I saw the pictures. What I'm saying is the locations for the movie filming, like, did they film the movie there?
I don't think so.
No, they didn't.
Well, the movie was set in Maine.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't in.
It wasn't, like, the real
it
Lake
wasn't
Placid.
The, like, all right. The real Lake Placid.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Was it raining? Did you have
it only rained that Saturday afternoon.
Okay, that's not bad.
No, and then Sunday and Monday it cleared up. And by Monday we were at Lake George and it was hot. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cute.
That is crazy, but like what's happening with New York weather right now, not that this is like a fucking breaking news story, but the other day was the first day of summer and it was like 62 degrees and
yeah.
we were all chilly.
Yeah, it felt like a fall day.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's been in the 60s and 70s like since
we didn't have a winter.
April.
We didn't see a New York snow. We haven't seen like a real New York
we
summer
snow.
Day.
Meanwhile, in Texas, they're having a heat wave.
I know. My
yeah,
mom called
scary.
Me the other day. She's mm-hmm. like, "It's 98 degrees. It's humid as hell."
Oh yeah.
And their AC went out.
Yeah. Oh uh-huh. no.
And she's also menopausal.
My mom
it was
had to,
104
like,
in
work.
San Antonio.
I mean, my mom had to leave her job because it was too hot where she works at, and they was like, take your ass home. And I was just like, you need to. My wish is that a lot more of y'all people continue to listen to the podcast. I need some money because I want to take my mom up where she ain't got to work no more, because all of us don't want our parents to be working in the heat. I'm sick of it.
No.
Hmm.
You want your mom in
my
the
parents
break?
Are retired, but
my mom works in a prison, so they don't really. I mean, her office has AC, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. My parents are retired.
Say,
Dad always just like pitters around the house.
I just want them
pitters?
In better situations than
putters?
Texas, where when their
putters.
Electricity and stuff goes out, they ain't got no other option.
Well, maybe if they lived in a different area that was run by Greg Abbott, they would have a different situation where they weren't on their own individual grid.
Well, my parents are, because of where they're located, how far west they are. Okay. We weren't part of that whole.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's really good. That you didn't
my
have
parents
that.
Were.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Four.
Of course. The majority, literally the majority of Texas.
Mine went out the my granny and them was out the other day, and they said it was only for 24 hours. But I'm just trying to keep them from becoming a final girl. And like, I'm just trying to keep them like alive. I want my family to do better. And my granny and I talked about it. And she was just like, I just wish that we had a situation where it was constantly saying like right now, like the water pressure is like low.
Just
like
stop bringing up water again.
Oh shit! I'm in trouble anyways. I'm gonna be in trouble with the podcast. They talking to me after this episode.
Damn.
Guys, listen. Again, not to be insensitive, sending love, thoughts, prayers, sorrows to all the families that lost someone. We love you guys. Thank you, Adam Bucci, for coming on and talking to us. It was a wonderful time. Please go and check out his merch on Small Town Weirdo. You can get some Final Girl, Final Queer, however you identify, however you want to support. That would be amazing. You can find me at I Am Darrell Anthony on Instagram, Darrell Anthony on Facebook, Twitter, do all of that.
You can find me on Instagram at Mr. Braden Bradley or my website, BradenBradley.com. Have a happy Pride.
You can. Ooh, go ahead, ooh. Ashley.
You can find me, Ashley, at Ashley Aaron M on all social media.
And you can find me, Adam Andrew Rios, on Instagram at the Adam Rios with a zero. And so, yeah, be it ready because we got some fun new content coming out from the Pride Parade and beyond because we've got so many interviews lined up. Beyond. Super excited.
I'm already tired.
Yeah, but yeah. It's Pride.
It's Pride, bitch. That was your line.
And we have stickers. So if you're interested in getting a sticker, you can slide into our DMs and we can hook you up with a little care package. Or if
as
you want to
you
donate.
As long as you pay for the postage.
Yeah, if you want to if you want to donate to the cause. But yeah, we got cute little stickers coming, so be on the lookout for those.
Thank you guys so much, and please go out and support your local queer artists and all over the world. We love you guys. See you next time.
Happy Pride.